Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. We apologise for that late introduction. We had a little bit of a problem, but we're away now, and my guest is Cynthia Crawford, known as the ET Sculptor. She sends them all over the world, and she's had contact with ET since childhood, and she believes that maybe because the answer is because her father told her she was a hybrid. That should be enough, I should think, to whet everybody's appetite. We look certain to have a very interesting interview with Cynthia, so welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so honored to be on this with you.
Great. Now, I suppose the best place to start here, really, is what happened when you were a child. How did this all come about?
Okay. Well, first of all, I remember as a child having contact and also being brought to underground facilities when I was a toddler, that is, and being tested and always being told when I would try to, when I would remember these situations, that I was imagining it. And it really wasn't until I was in my 30s that my father came to me and told me the reason why I have had contact with extraterrestrials my entire life. I was the only one of three children that had contact.
Mm-hmm. Right. How did it happen in the first instance then? I mean, were you taken somewhere and introduced to ETs? I mean, did you know what was happening?
Well, actually, as a child, yes, I did as a child. But you know what's interesting is that when we're children, we're told by our parents what they believe is our truth. And eventually, we begin thinking that we're imagining these beings that we're having contact with. And we began believing that we are either not having contact, or if we are, especially the way I was raised by a very strong Christian mother, I was raised to believe that the contact that I was having at the time when I got older was because I was not a good enough Christian and it was the devil testing me. So, you know, growing up and you're hearing these things, it makes it very difficult to be able to determine what your truth is. But when you're quite young, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have, and that is meeting these little children who remember who they are and also remember the contact they're having. For example, not long ago when I was doing a conference, I had an 8-year-old child walk up to me and point to a sculpture I had made that was just from a memory of what happened to me when I was 16 years old. And the child told me who that being was that I had sculptured. So it was the first time that I had ever realized that children have a lot of the answers. And then a few years later, I talked to his mother, and he's been pushed into, you know, sticking his head in the books and doing good in school and everything, that he's kind of forgotten about his own memories of his own life, previous lifetimes on other planets. So what I try to do now is encourage people whose children are having these experiences to allow them to talk about it and to remember them.
Yes. Right, now, just to cover one point here, Cynthia, I think we have to say there is no doubt that you are a hybrid, because you tell us that your DNA is only 34% human. So if listeners are wondering the truth about that, I think that is beyond doubt.
Okay, right. Yeah, actually, one of the first things that I had learned when I was 22 years old and had complications with my son and the doctors were going to have to do an emergency cesarean a month, with him being a month premature. They had to take blood tests from me to be able to make sure they had matches. And that's when they determined that only three people in the on the planet, actually, would be able to match my blood, and that if I had blood transfusions, well, I shouldn't say three, two other people besides myself had that blood type. So had they given that blood, you know, B positive from someone else that did not contain the certain antigens I have in my blood, it would have killed me.
Yes.
So that was the first indication. And then the next indication came after I'd had a very serious accident in 1993, where I should have died from it. I was hit by a car while walking across the street, and I was thrown 35 feet up in the air and 75 feet out into another street. Gosh. After being hit by an El Camino that had a camper on the back end of it. So I survived it, but I did lose a third of my brain, and I had to learn to remember and to access my ability to speak again and to do various things. But the interesting part was that the doctors, as I was recovering from my accident, the doctors were amazed at the tissue. My tissue, body tissue, and muscle tissue was like nothing they'd ever seen before.
Mm. Well, I suppose that goes without saying in view of the fact that you are a hybrid. And I must tell our listeners that you said you were born a twin, but again, you had totally different blood and tissue type than your sister and also the rest of the family.
Yes. Actually, what happened was when my father explained it to me, my mother was actually injected. They created me in a petri dish. I was one of many experiments that the government was doing at that time, working with German scientists that were teaching them how to create hybrids. Now, mind you, back in those days, they were experimenting primarily teaching the American scientists what the capabilities were and how it's done and so forth. I have since met other people who have been part of that very initial program.
Right. I did have a guest on my program some time back who was Andrew Santiago, and by the sound of it, he went through a similar experience when he was young as well. He was taken to a place and checked over for training, I guess, for what was later time traveling, and I think he met ETs and so forth. So a certain similarity there.
Actually, it's amazing that since I started making the sculptures and started having communication with people all over the world, it's amazing how many of these people that are recognizing these various sculptures actually have similar things in common. So I think that everything that's been happening lately has been quite the eye-opener for me about reality. So many of us believed that human beings were the only thing that existed, and the thought of other life forms in the universe was against beliefs or religion and so forth. So right now it's exciting. I even get contacts from people that know that they were not born on this planet, that are extraterrestrials living on this planet. And I just love it. It's exciting.
Well, I think to be fair, one must say that there really is no such thing as an Earth being, in the sense that none of us have actually evolved on this planet. We've all come from somewhere else in the universe.
I agree, absolutely.
Right. Now, Now, just one point I wish to make, going back to your mentioning about the serious accident you had. I believe that your healing from your injuries was so unusual that you were cured in about 2 months, whereas normally it would have taken about 6.
Well, that's correct about my muscles. My muscles rebounded quicker than the doctors have ever seen happen. The only thing that did not, which was really a problem for me later on, was that my bones did not mend like a normal human's bones do. In fact, it took about 2 to 3 times longer than most humans. I was not at the time a smoker, nor did I have any oddities with my bones. But what the doctors found out was that my bone matter was extremely very porous. And since then, I found out that the bone matter is very comparable to the Zeta bone, which is part of my DNA.
Yes, yes. So I suppose that has to be put down to the fact that being a hybrid, your whole system works a little bit differently to a normal human being. So you've got these odd differences. Now, I should think in your own way you are unique, in as much that I haven't come across anyone else who does sculptures like you do and is, if you like, overshadowed or helped to do them in a way to ensure that they're realistic.
Oh my gosh, that's true. In fact, when it first started happening, let me disconnect this phone for a second. Anyway, when it first started happening, what I learned was I began hearing this voice. I first started, you know, designing these sculptures with the idea that I was trying to remember the contact I was having. And the more I did them, the more I began falling in love with my experiences all over again. And not only that, I also realized this voice was talking to me, and it was a telepathic voice. And there were times when I'd say, I would like to make a Syrian, not knowing, of course, at the time, how many different Syrians there are on the planet, in the Sirius star system.
Yeah.
So a voice started telling me, and I began making the sculpture according to what it was saying to me. And the very first Syrian sculpture I made, I had a few people kind of chuckle and say, well, Cynthia, that's not an alien. What makes you think that that's a Syrian being from another planet when it looks very human? And I felt kind of foolish at first, and I actually hid that sculpture for a while. And then about 6 months later, I was at that time I had participated in a group of experiencers who were having contact, and I was having contact every week, at least once or twice a week. And so what happened was a guy shows up in the experiencer group, and he looked identical to the Syrian sculpture I had made. Mm-hmm. And the guy listened to us for about 45 minutes before he said anything. And then he said, I'm very disappointed. I came to this group thinking I was going to find some of my fellow brothers and sisters that are here on Earth working on the same mission I've been sent to do. And he claimed to be a Syrian warrior of light, but actually he didn't say of light, he just said a Syrian warrior. And different ones, when he finally left, I chased after him and told him I had no explanation as to how this happened, but that I had made a sculpture of him that was so perfect he could have been sitting for me while I made it. And so I said, go ahead.
Carry on. I was just agreeing with what you were saying there, yeah.
Okay. So what happened was that as I continued making sculptures, either I would have voices that would talk to me and tell me how to make them, and sometimes they were very comical in the things they would say. Like they'd say, "No, no, that's not a Bob Hope nose on us." And so it became very, I loved their sense of humor and so forth. And they understood, you know, even though they didn't walk amongst us as far as in this dimension, they understood about various things they could compare with, so that when I made the sculptures, it made it easier. There were also times when I would go into a trance, and I never knew when this was going to happen. And when I would come out of the trance, I had made a sculpture, not even knowing who it was or why I even did it. And then I would ask my guides, I would say, "Why did I do this? Who is this?" And they'd say, "It is not for you to know. For those who know them will tell you." And sure enough, I started bringing them to some of the conferences with me, and people would identify them and share their experiences with them. Eventually, it got to the point, as I made these, that they had told me that in every sculpture I made, they put their own frequency through me and into the sculptures to help awaken people to why they are here, who they truly are, and what their connection with humanity is and with the other star family or star people. I don't use the word alien very often, primarily because I see all the beings in the universe as being our star family.
Yes.
I also began getting counseling as well. You know how it is when they take you and they start taking you through school. It's not school where you learn something new, but rather it's school where we're being reminded of what we already know.
Yes, and that's an interesting comment, because in some spiritual messages that I've read of recent times, they do say that all knowledge is within, along with everything we've been and everything we've done. So a lot of it is bringing back the memories.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Mike, when I first started reading your messages, your galactic messages, oh my gosh, a few years ago, I believe it was at least a few years ago, because I think you've been doing this for a while, correct? Go ahead.
I was going to say, since 2004, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought, because since I've been listening to or reading your channeled messages, it just absolutely blew me away that I started just a few years ago, even though you'd been doing it longer. I only found you a few years ago. And I went back and read some of your messages, and sometimes I get really busy with my work that I don't have time. And later on, I'll go back and I'll try and catch up on your messages. And it just melts my heart, because what you channel is so much of what I'm being taught and reminded of. And it's just absolutely beautiful. It's like a confirmation that I'm on the right path, because I've had so many people from time to time try to tell me that the information that I felt or that was coming through me was not correct. And then when I've read it, that you've channeled it, then I realize, well, we're all getting different messages. We're all having our own truth. And perhaps maybe I'm more connected to the beings of the Sirius star system than I am the others.
Yes, I'm sure that is the case. Now, in addition to getting telepathic information when you were doing these sculptures, did they ever put the image in your mind as well, so that you could actually see what the full face looked like?
Yes, absolutely. It would always be in my third eye, and sometimes it would be through the night when I would be sleeping. Sometimes they would appear in my room, and it was interesting because there was a time when I asked these beings, I was doing a meditation, and I sent this out to the universe, and I said, "I would like to make more sculptures of various beings who would like to be known to humanity." And so if you will please show yourself. And all of a sudden, in my backyard, there had to have been 20-some beings, all different-looking beings, standing in a group. And it was amazing. I was absolutely shocked. And I'll never forget that there was one that was sitting up on a big boulder, and he was bouncing. He was the size of a little toddler, but was a full-grown adult in his kind of being. And he was jumping up and down so excited, wanting me to remember him. So he was one of the first ones I did. But I also sometimes will call on them and I'll say, look, I've seen images in my third eye of what you look like, but if it's possible, can you please appear to me and maybe give me side profiles and let me look at the back of your head and so forth so I can make sure I get it right. And one night, what was interesting was I had called upon the Blue Arcturian, and about 3:20 in the morning, my dogs were barking like crazy as if they wanted to go out. And I kept thinking, boy, I sure hope that the beings appear to me so I can look at them. And there out my back door over the mountain was this massive plasma ship. Oh, my God, it was the most gorgeous thing I'd ever seen. It was glowing. It looked almost like a, almost like the shape of an almond, but not quite as pointed at the ends. And it was glowing a pearly white color and then would change to a pearly pink, pearly yellow, pink and blue, and so forth like that. And then it faded out. And so telepathically I said, if you truly are a ship, blink back on. And it did so. And every so often when I get really lonely and I need confirmation that they're around me, I'll ask the ships to appear and they'll come, but not always when I demand it.
But they never let you down. May I comment again, going back to your Syrian warrior? I mean, I'm looking at your gallery of coloured photographs of all these sculptures, which anybody can do if they visit your website. And it's probably the most human-looking one of all the ETs that you've done, as far as I can see.
Yes. In fact, I was at a meeting last night, and a young man came up to me and asked me about the Syrian Warrior of Light, and that he had seen it, and that his fiance mentioned to him that he sure looked a lot like it. And I'm looking at this man, and I said, well, of course, that's because you are one of them. And he said, I thought so. He said, you know, I've known that I have a mission, and I keep feeling like there's something I'm here to do, and I really want to get the sculpture, but there's answers that I want. Will the sculpture help me? And, of course, I told him, I said, well, I'll make the sculpture and let's see, but I truly believe they will. The only problem I have to tell people, and I have to warn them about this, and that is if you do not want contact, there's absolutely no reason to have a sculpture. Because what happens, those people that get the sculptures, they'll usually have some form of contact, whether it be telepathic, whether they find themselves on a ship, or they find ships coming to them, or they begin having physical contact or even etheric contact with the various beings. I've had numerous people tell me about where they felt themselves moving into another dimension. And this is something that I know that our star family understands, that some of us just haven't fully awakened. But when we feel fear when it comes to going on the ships or meeting the beings in person or them coming into our room and communicating with us, if we feel fear, we're actually sabotaging that contact. So I encourage people to make peace with this and to realize that they are no different than we are. They're all created by the same source that we are created. We all have souls. We're all connected. and we have to give up this feeling of separation. Because we really aren't separated only by our thoughts. If we believe we're alone, we can segregate or separate ourselves from everybody else, but we don't need to. We just need to open up our hearts.
I totally agree with you, and that's very well put indeed. I'll tell you a little story, something that sort of came up over the last couple of weeks. I was reading an article about the Mayans, and somebody commented on the fact that they're so clever in their sculptures, and yet they depicted the faces on a lot of them as being very round, with round eyes and rather larger mouths, and they couldn't understand why, if they were that clever, they didn't seem to get a human head in place. And lo and behold, I looked at your gallery and I see the true Andromedan, which to my mind fits that description. And it is known, of course, or generally accepted, that the Mayans were helped with their fantastic knowledge of astronomy and what have you by extraterrestrials. So I find that very interesting, because it seems one seems to confirm the other one.
Oh, you know, absolutely it does. In fact, I have, when you say that, it reminds me of how the Andromedan, I made the Andromedan, because what truly happened at the time was I had met a woman that had moved into the Arizona area close to me, and she'd come over to visit me, and she had moved from the East Coast. She told me about her Blue Arcturian father and some of her experiences, and then we didn't see each other for a few weeks, and she calls me up and says she wants to come over and visit me. Well, what had happened in the meantime was I had grabbed a big ball of clay and started making shoulders and neck and was about to make the head, and all of a sudden I got this strange feeling come over me, and I said to my guides, I said, I don't understand what you're saying and what this feeling is. So I trust that if there's something I'm supposed to do, that you'll tell me. And the next thing I know is I'm consciously aware that I have completed a sculpture, and it was the Andromedan adult. And the very first one I made, its head was askewed, so that it looked like it was looking up at something. Mm-hmm. And when my girlfriend came over, I was showing her some of my new sculptures I did, and I took the plastic off of this one, and she actually screamed when she saw it. She goes, "Oh my God, how did you know? What are you doing to me?" She was very upset, and I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "About a week ago, I was suddenly pulled into a ship, and I saw these beings, exactly what, like the one you sculptured." And she said the one was standing in front of me. Now, my girlfriend, by the way, is 5'11", and these beings stand 4 feet tall. So they were looking up at her, and this one particular one closest to her, his head was askewed the way he was trying to look up at her with all the others surrounding him. And what I did was I tried to straighten out the neck, because I thought that something was wrong with my sculpting. And I got the neck all straightened out, took the stick out of it. I have like this metal stick that I use for the neck. Took that out of it and let it dry completely. And I came back downstairs the very next day, and the sculpture, the neck, had again become askewed so that it looked the way it originally did when I first sculpted it. And then I found out that that was because they're so short compared to us humans, and that's the way they look up at us.
Yeah, that's very interesting indeed. I have to say, for our listeners' benefit, if they are thinking of purchasing one of your sculptures, that you're only allowed to make beings of light, so none of them would carry anything other than absolutely positive energies.
That's true. I did one time, I saw a picture that someone did of a reptilian, that the person had had bad experiences with this reptilian, but it was so colorful, so I wanted to sculpture it. And I literally took that picture, printed it out, and began sculpturing it, and all of a sudden my being said telepathically, very loud, "We don't want you to do that." And by the way, they speak in the plural of "we." And I said,
"Yes.
But I want to do it." And they said, "But we don't want you to." And I got a little bit upset with them that they're telling me what to do. And I said, "Look, I make these sculptures because you've asked me to do so. And I don't mind doing it, but you're always helping me. I just want to see if I have my own talents, if I can make these without you guys helping me. Just let me see if I can do it." And so they shut up. And the next thing I know, I'm completely done, and the thing looks gorgeous. I mean, it's done perfect. And I shove it back on the counter and grab some more clay to start a different sculpture. And the next thing I know, that sculpture I had just finished goes flying off the counter, smashed straight down onto the floor so you couldn't even recognize it. And I got what they were saying then. They were saying, "You agreed to bring in only the light. There is already too much darkness on this planet. We do not allow any more darkness." Right, so that's why I only make what they allow me to.
Was this the same incident that you had something odd happen to do with the camera?
With the camera. Actually, I'm trying to remember which incident that was. I recently had some friends over that took some pictures of my sculpture sitting on the, what do you call that? My mind goes blank now. In the middle of the kitchen, I have a counter, and I had them sitting on that. And what's interesting is there is portals in my bedroom and a vortex that goes all the way through the middle of the mountain that's right behind my house, less than a mile behind my house. And it goes through my bedroom, and so that the kitchen is right, or my bedroom, I should say, is right off of the kitchen. So what happened was this woman was taking pictures of my sculptures, and she was standing in part of the portal. And when she developed the pictures, or downloaded the pictures onto my computer, you could see this brilliant energy coming from the sculptures and going into this portal or vortex. So that was quite amazing. I've also had people literally who have taken pictures of the sculptures, and they've gotten pictures of it as the sculpture opened and closed its eyes or moved its head. And I can't explain. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's wonderful that these type of things happen, because it proves that they're not just ordinary sculptures.
No, in fact, what I do is I started keeping now, because at first when people would write this to me, my guides had told me that the sculptures were like live beings because their frequency is in them. And I didn't want to tell people that because I thought they'd think I was nuts. So I told nobody. And when I started getting phone calls or emails from people telling me about seeing their sculptures open and close their eyes or their mouth open or hearing them speak to them or actually seeing the sculpture turn into a full-sized being, I was so amazed by it that I didn't save all of those emails. So eventually, as I started realizing that it wasn't just a few, that I was getting phone calls and emails from dozens and dozens of people, and I would say at least 50% of the people that had sculptures were emailing me or calling me, I began saving those. So I do have a lot of those yet on my, that I haven't downloaded all of them to the website yet, but I will be doing that.
Right. Now, In your photo gallery, you have a sculpture of Master Sananda. Now, how does he get into this sort of collection?
Wow, that's interesting you should ask that, because, again, going back to my childhood, I was raised by a very strong Christian mother who did not believe that life existed beyond the system. And when I first had contact with Sananda, I had been very ill. And when I said, that means when I actually saw him face to face, because I'd had contact previously, but didn't know who it was. But this time, I was face to face with him because I had been very ill and should have died. I had a flu virus that had attacked my heart. And so when he came to me, I turned my back on him. And I said, I'm not about Christianity. I don't go there. And all of a sudden, a voice said to me, neither is he. He prefers you call him Sananda. And they said also, he is not about Christianity. He is about unconditional love and living in the light of Source. Then I began realizing, as we had contact, that Sananda is part of the Galactic Federation, and that his life on planet Earth, as he showed me, and again, when I have contact with them, they only show me bits and pieces, enough to get their message across. What he had shown me was much like you and I and many others on this planet today. We come in a group to learn our lessons when we're here on planet Earth, and we have numerous lifetimes that we get to learn all these lessons. And at the end, which I believe we're at what's called the end of this group, and that many of us are going to be going on and becoming masters. And that's what happened with Jesus, who, by the way, was not actually born with the name Jesus. That was a Christian name given to him. But Jesus was born when he walked the planet in his last lifetime. It was his dissertation to becoming a master. All of us eventually become masters, and we get to choose what we want to do. And many of them choose to work with the Galactic Federation, where they're of help to many other groups of souls on other planets that are also learning their ascension processes.
Do I take it that you would agree that Master Sananda is the name that Jesus took when he moved into a slightly higher vibration? In other words, that's his sort of name today as opposed to Jesus in the past time.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that's true. And you know, what's interesting is that when I saw him face to face, he was the most humble being. He actually, I have never felt so much love. I mean, this is so awesome. He views us always as an equal. He never, ever views himself as greater than anyone else or lesser than anyone else. He views us all the same. And it is just, it's incredible. And it's taught me to be humble. Because, you know, being that we have egos, being in a human body, sometimes people have a tendency to think because they make more money than others, or because they're better looking than others, or they own a lot more material possessions than others, that they're actually better than those who have less. And the sad thing is that, you know, there is really no difference. We choose our lessons. At least this is what I've learned through all my contact with these various beings, is that all of us choose the lessons we're here to learn. And it's amazing when you start listening to some of these other masters and how they learned. and how willing they are to share and to help us awaken. They don't give us the answers. You know, it's kind of like in school, when we're given the answers, we really truly do not learn the lessons. It's through trial and error that we actually learn, and with assistance. And that's what these guides, these masters really are, these guides, to assist us in our awakening. Yes.
I agree with you there. Now, they told you why this is one of the most precious times ever. Can you remember what they said?
Yes. I love this, because this is a time when we're beginning to remember who we truly are and where we really come from and the connection we have with one another and the source. This is a wonderful time not only to awakening to that, but also to being able to assist others in their awakening. It's an incredible time as well that we empower ourselves knowing that. For there's a lot of the dark ones out there. And the dark ones, this is what they told me. In order for us to learn our lessons, there must be challenges. There must be contrast. There must be the good and the bad, the dark and the light. Because how can we know what is better, what feels better to us, if we don't get to experience them? And also, we get to experience being the bad guys as well as being the good guys. So there was a time in my life where I was very angry with our government, our administrations, and things that were going on, and I was one of those people behind others going, yeah, yeah, we need to fight, we need to do this, we need to stand up for our rights and so forth. And one day they said to me, Cynthia, why are you teaching this? Do you not know that you are no different than those that are of the dark? For they have only chosen to assist you with your lessons. They're only here to give you that difference that you can learn from. And if it weren't for them, you wouldn't have the lessons and you couldn't work on your ascension. Therefore, know that as there are light workers working to help others in their process, their ascension process, there too have to be the dark ones. It's because if we can't overcome certain obstacles and fears and things that are connected even to our ego, if we can't learn these various lessons, then truly there is no ascension. So they're here to help us. And when they're done doing their part, they get to go back, and perhaps in their next lifetime, they get to play the good guy. You know? So I've had to look at that differently. In fact, many people that have had these sculptures have contacted me recently and told me some things that at first bothered me. They said that they found themselves being attacked by some beings shortly after getting the sculptures. And I said, attacked in what way? And they said, well, for example, there was one guy that said he woke up and he was frozen, couldn't move at all. They had paralyzed him. And all he could hear was this kind of a growl, almost like a reptilian type snarl or growl, and he was scared and he was angry and he was just ready to tear it to shreds, but he couldn't move because he was paralyzed, and he was upset with me. And then I had a few other people call me and tell me some similar things, and so I asked my guides, I said, what's going on here? I only bring in the light. And they said, don't you understand? We help them open the door to their hearts, and when they do that, the light begins shining in, and all of a sudden, those of the dark say to themselves, okay, this one's waking up. We won't have control of him if he wakens all the way. We better scare him now before it's too late. Mm-hmm. And so they try that. They try to scare them to keep them from their light. So what I do is I work with these people, and I say, okay, let me tell you what you're feeling. You're feeling their fear of your awakening. And when you empower yourself with that knowledge, they will no longer bother you. I have since heard from people that have taken some of my suggestions about learning to work with the light and unconditional love and acknowledging that we're all equals in what they're doing and kind of throwing it back in their face so that the fear goes back at them so that they're seeing their own reflection. Say,
yes.
The
so
bad guy.
They just reflect it back to where it came from. Now, you mentioned ascension there. Tell me what they told you about ascension, and bear in mind the program's whizzing along so quickly. We haven't got too much time left, so tell us what they said.
Okay, well, first of all, they made me understand. They took me back to the origination of the source, the creator. And they said that source just was, knew all, was all, had all. So source wanted to know what it was to come from nothingness and become all that is. So source made selves. And each one of us are source selves. And source gave each of us the ability to live numerous experiences on various planets, which is why the universe was created, for us to learn and for source to live vicariously through us. And that the ascension process is just part of that process, going, working from nothing to all that is. And that's what we're doing. And it's an amazing, wonderful experience. Was that simple? Are you still there? Mike?
Oh, beg your pardon, yeah. I'm still here. Another question based on the ascension. Just a very quick answer from you. Do you believe that there is a key point at the end of 2012, as many people think?
You know, I do, but I'll tell you why I do. And it doesn't mean I'm right, but this is what I found as my truth. There are many people that have come here to be light workers and to assist humanity in their ascension. And many of us light workers are going to be leaving to go back, whether it's we're going back to the ships, we're going back to our planets, or whatever we choose to do. And there are many others who are ascending who are going to go into the new world. And this is our choice. I do believe that some will stay, will remain in the third dimension because they're not really ready yet to move forward. And this is nothing against them because we all move forward in our own process. And it's not that one is better than another because there is no such thing. We all are truly one and the same. We're all connected to source.
Absolutely. I will repeat something I did read in your notes, that they also told you that the Earth would effectively split into two, that there would be a new Earth, yes?
Yes, actually what they said is between each group of souls, soul groups that are here for their ascension process as human beings, that there's like so many thousands of years that go on, and when they finally are on their graduation, then the Earth, Mother Earth, must cleanse herself of all the negativity and all the things that she's had to go through in her assisting us in our ascension process. And she must cleanse herself. So what I understand is that this is the first time ever that Earth has actually birthed itself a new world. So they have told me this several times, and that is, they said, as an atom splits, so too will the planet Earth split and become two. One will be the new Earth as it is cleansed and readied for the new group of souls coming in, and the other one will be the new world, where those people who have moved to the fifth dimension, the higher dimension of love, will be able to go. So we will have that choice.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, everything you've been talking about, ascension, really fits in, I think, with what is generally accepted. Now, couple of minutes to talk about something that obviously is important. Would you like to give our listeners your website address and tell them any other information they might need to know if they're interested in your sculptures?
Absolutely. First of all, I do want to say that I was told by my guides, because I tried for years, I kept resisting having a website, and my guides finally told me, they said, why do you worry? For only those who need to remember who they are and what their mission is and their connection to their star family will be the ones that will buy the sculptures. If a person is not drawn to them, they should not buy one as a collector's item. My website is http://etsculptor.com. So it's etsculptor.com.
Right, that's two forward slashes, isn't it, in your
Yes, it is. It's two forward
slashes. Okay. don't worry, everybody will probably realise that anyway. Now, you were in the process of writing your first book. Has that come out yet?
You know, I have been so busy because I did a Project Camelot workshop last year about this time, and all of a sudden I was shocked with the orders. I was so inundated with orders that I didn't have time. I was working day and night making sculptures. So I have not yet finished the book, but I did decide that the book, instead of it being a book, it's going to be a CD, and I am also in the process with working with a few other people to create some YouTube videos that will help people so that when they work with the sculptures, it'll help them understand how to connect with their star family, and then also right. some teachings of our galactic family.
That's wonderful. I'm going to have to stop you there, Cynthia. I think we could have gone on for at least another hour. It's the most wonderful subject, and I have to say you're most knowledgeable and certainly very spiritually aware, which is quite evident from what you said. So thank you very much for coming onto the program. I'll quickly introduce next week's guest, who is going to be Kevin D. Randall. He's one of the foremost experts on UFOs. He's an author of around about 100 books, both science fiction and historical fiction, hundreds of magazine articles. I've read quite a few of his books, so I know he's well known in the UFO list. He wants to talk about his latest book, which is called Crash, When UFOs Fall from the Sky, and it's a history of famous incidents, conspiracies and cover-ups. So again, that should be quite an interesting program. So thank you for being with me today. I'm sure you thoroughly enjoyed it, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all.